Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gear Priority Podcast. My name is Justin, and I'm joined by Lloyd from Garage Growing Gear for this partnered episode where we are going to be chatting with a cottage gear maker who works with one of the most sought after and cool fabrics out there, PolarTech Alpha.
If you're not familiar with what PolarTech Alpha is, we're going to get into that as well as why it's such cool fabric for backpacking and for hiking. But first, let's welcome to the podcast Joe with Farpoint Outdoor Gear. Joe, how are you doing? And where are you calling in from?
I'm doing great. I'm actually calling in from Oregon. I'm out on the coast. It's a nice overcast day. We're right here, pretty much Central Coast, Newport City. So,
okay. Are you from Oregon originally?
No, I'm from Chicago, the Midwest. So I love the Midwest. Love the Chicago winters were always a blast. I think that's where my gear testing really started, was Chicago winter. So,
well, you know, being from Milwaukee, we frequently refer to Chicago as a southern suburb of Milwaukee.
Nice. That's nice.
What about you, Lloyd? How are things going? It's been a month since the last podcast.
Yeah, it's going well. I spent my morning putting a lot of things in boxes, listening to a Robin album or two, and stoked to be off the packing table and chatting with both of you.
Nice. Yeah, because you guys are finishing up a pretty big sale. Is everything kind of out the door at this point then?
I'd like to say yes, but no. No, we're still getting caught up, which is not a bad thing, but a thing. So yeah, all good.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, and that kind of lined up with we were talking about before the episode, getting married I'm getting married in a couple days here, so if everyone sees me kind of like thinking about I'm not the one really thinking about table arrangements, let's be honest, but like ice cream and DJs and bars and stuff like that, then that's why. Just a lot on the mind with that. But really excited to chat with you today, Joe, and we always start off the episode with some rapid fire questions that we didn't send you beforehand, but just to get to know you, just some random stuff. Lloyd and I got a couple here for you. Let's start off with, you live in Oregon right now. If you could live anywhere else in the world, where would it be?
I've thought a lot about Montana. It looks like a gorgeous place. I haven't really visited, but I've always planned on trying to do the CDT, which is kind of been put on the back burner since Farpoint started, but I would try it southbound, so you'd start in Glacier. Yeah, Montana would be somewhere. And I actually just looked into getting a passport because I'd like to travel around Europe and check out some other countries. I really enjoy music, and there's a lot of stuff in Germany and like Sweden, that there's some festivals, even a fest in where is it, like Uganda, it's called Niji Tapes. They put on a fest and some pretty wild music, and I'd like to really check out Europe. I haven't really been outside the States except for like a cruise when I was younger, but Montana would be it, though, in the States for sure.
Nice. Is that to get more remote, is that the goal with Montana?
I lived a bit remote. I did some off-grid living in like a tiny cabin, and I really enjoyed it. I was really broke, but if I had some more money, it would have been really fun to build up with, solar and a better water system. I was lugging like 5-gallon jugs back and forth, but I really enjoyed that kind of living for sure. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Okay, I've got another one for you. Joe, when you go backpacking, are you in favor of solo hiking in a group, a little bit of a mix? What do you find yourself gravitating towards?
It's kind of funny. So I really love solo hiking. I'm always scared when I started. I'm actually probably tomorrow, I'm probably going for a solo hike down south. For me, there's a region called Kalmyopsis Wilderness, and I really love hiking down there. It's really rugged, very difficult terrain. You can do it all year round because it's right there in the coastal range. So I hit like Illinois River. I've done, I don't know, a dozen times, and it just beats you up every time. It's a tough one. So I love solo hiking. I love hiking with a group, maybe five people max, but you really got to find people that, you know, are a similar style. I got a buddy named Alex. I love hiking with him, and he just hauls ass when he's hiking. He's a really fast hiker, ultralighter. He's from the East Coast, so he does hammock camping. So it's fun hiking with him because he's fast. It's challenging. And then you can hike with people with more traditional setups who can get kind of grumpy sometimes if you're moving a lot faster than them. So yeah, so it's fun. Yeah, I got a buddy coming from Illinois sometime in July, and we're going to do Mount Hood, which I usually do in like 2 days, the Timberline Trail. But we're going to make it a 4-day journey. It's going to be a lot of fun, well-paced, like 10-mile days. So I'm really excited. It'll be something he's never done. Should be really cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably hard to find people to go with when you lead off with the trail is going to beat you up. That usually isn't like an enticer for most people. That's what I find too. I'd say like, yeah, I'm going to this place and it's probably going to break my soul a little bit. And they're like, yeah, I'm not down for that. And I'm like, well, you're missing out. A little soul breakage is always, that's always good.
I usually downplay it because then once you got them out there, what are they going to do? You know? Yeah. They're just going to get mad at you. They'll be like, what the hell is this? And you're like, it'll be okay. And yeah. So.
You got to embrace that type 2 fun.
Oh, I love it.
You know,
I really love it.
If you're not broken down, what's left to build back up?
Yeah.
You know, you got to have room to grow.
And the meal afterwards is always the best one you've ever had. Yeah, it's fun.
All right. Question number 3, a little bit more basic. Are you a quilt or a sleeping bag person?
I've always done quilts. I started with a 10 degree lightning equipment quilt, and that thing, it's just awesome. I use it all winter now. I brought it on the CT, which was kind of overkill, but I was always nice and toasty. And I switched to, I've got a 30 degree now and a 50 degree synthetic, which I use in the summer. All in lightning equipment. I love their stuff. Yeah, I've always just done quilts. Yeah, definitely.
Have you thought about making your own quilts since you have the skills there?
Yeah. I actually bought some. What is it? Apex and some of the nylon fabrics. It's hard to find time for those personal projects, but yeah, hopefully as the team expands a bit more, I'll be able to sit down and knock out a couple of other things.
Yeah, Joe, you can't make stuff for yourself.
I know, you really can't.
More stuff at Garage Ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a different vein, weirdest wildlife that you've encountered on trail?
I've seen moose, which were really cool. I saw them, I think it was on the Collegiate Loop on the CT. So it was like around 10,000 feet. A couple of them, they're just watching as we pass. So I was like, oh man, those are big. Bear, I finally started seeing some bear down south, which was really cool. Just big scared dogs, black bear at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know cats have been around, but I've never seen them. And they definitely scare me the most, this big cat. But yeah, I've yet to run into one. I'd love to see one, but yeah, you know how that goes.
Maybe that's a group, yeah. Or like with a group and someone can be kind of watching your back a little bit and hit it with a stick or something if it gets you.
Yeah, it's funny. People are like, oh, man, I'd bring a gun with. I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea, bringing a gun. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I know, like, I don't know if the cats are similar out there, but in the Canadian Rockies here, when they get you, they stalk you, and then they get on your back, dig their claws into your shoulders and traps, and then, like, bite your neck and try and just, like, break your spine.
Yeah.
And I feel like pulling a gun and trying to shoot them in that kind of...
That's not a good idea.
It's probably not going to end well.
That could be bad. Yeah, I remember I knew a guy, he'd carry a big knife, like, right here, and he said the same thing. He's like, the cat will get on your back, so you want to hunch up and get your knife and just stab him. And I was like, oh, man, that's a rough deal. But if it saves you, I guess, I don't know.
All right, so let's jump into, let's get right into it, talking about Farpoint, the kind of story behind your company there, and some details about Alpha Direct, because I think that's probably what you're most known for. And I think if I know the history is what kind of got you going. So Lloyd, let's why don't you get started?
Yeah, I'd love to just hear a little bit more about how Farpoint got its start, and how did you first discover PolarTech Alpha? Like, what was your first connection point with it?
Yeah, so I used, I think it was the RAB Alpha Freak. And then there was another company that made a 90 weight, just a real simple, I forget the name now, but simple hoodie with a little pocket. And I had ordered one of those from some guy on Reddit because they weren't selling them in the States. So I ordered a used one.
Was it MacPack?
Yeah, that's it. The MacPack Nitro.
MacPack.
Yeah. And it was a pretty cool, it fit really well. It's a nice hoodie. Showed up and my brother was here and I was like, oh, let's go play some tennis. So I'm out there in the sun and he's like, man, I can see your body through that thing. I was like, yeah, it does look a little funny. yeah, but the Alpha Freak by Rad was I think it's a 190 weight. They don't make them anymore. It's a really cool piece of gear. That one was really awesome. It had like a nylon hood with a power grid lining, and then most of the body was 190 except for these large gussets of some kind of power grid stretch. Really cool piece. Yeah, I used that quite a bit in the winter. But Reddit was the start. It was right around when COVID hit. I had been working as a server in a restaurant. I just got back from the CT and there was this hat I was using the whole time in the CT, and I thought I could make this out of this Alpha fabric. So I ordered a couple from these people on eBay, which if anyone out there had dealt with this, there's a group on eBay. They're pretty wild to deal with. I haven't worked with them for a while now, but yeah, I was ordering fabric from them initially when I started. And so I did a drop of hats on Reddit, which did pretty well. And I got a lot of requests for hoodies. So I started making some hoodies. And I think I did maybe 4 sales on Reddit before we got in touch, you and I, Lloyd. And then we started with the caps and moved on from there. A really good...
You only sold 4 before we started chatting.
Like 4 sales, but each sale had maybe 20, 30 items or something. Yeah. And the sales did really well. I'd always...
Because it was so polished.
Yeah. Yeah, I was always so nervous before each sale. I remember talking to my dad, like, what if it doesn't sell? And everything always sold. It always went well. So, yeah.
So did you guys start working together before... you started making shirts and hoodies and things like that? Was it at the hat stage?
No, I was making hoodies, but when we started, it was just with hats. And then I think we pretty quickly moved into the hoodies too. But yeah, I initially started with just a straight stitch, and I'd use these like pinking shears to finish the seams to try to make it look nice. And then at the time, my girlfriend had a serger. She was making like heat bags that you have rice in and stuff. You know what I mean? And I started using her serger. I got a couple sergers after that. Then a cover stitch machine to finish the hems. Yeah. So
that's awesome, Joe. And what has been the experience since launching? Like, what's been the journey from kind of that point until here?
Oh, just really busy staying, which is awesome. Staying super busy. Finally expanded. Initially, it was like just, I just thought work as much as you absolutely can, make as much as you can. So it'd be these really long days. And then I'd take like a long weekend here and there. But eventually hired a couple people, which has been working out really well. And just staying busy. I think scheduling wise, I'm like all the way through the end of the year for this year. We got a booth at PCT Days this year, which is really awesome. Yeah, probably one of our biggest things yet. We try to, we get hit up for different wholesale orders, but it's just so much time, you know, and we take priority with garage grown gear. So I let some people know I can do this or that when I can, but yeah, until we get, I'd like to hire like three more people, and then I think we can really, take on a couple more of these wholesale requests. But
yeah. What got you, like, what kind of triggered you to be like, yeah, this Alpha Direct thing is, well, maybe we can rewind before we get into that question. For the people out there who aren't familiar with what Alpha Direct is, I think you kind of hinted at it with that it's a fabric that is maybe a little bit see-through at times, but yeah. Could you just run us through what it is and what's special about it?
Yeah, so the 90 and 60 weight, they're like, so like a 90 weight hoodie and a 60 weight hoodie, will the difference will be about 1 ounce, maybe an ounce and a half. And then the durability is very similar. And the heat retention is also pretty similar. There's like zero wind resistance. So it, you know, the wind will move right through the thing, but it's just very surprising how warm it'll keep you. It'll keep you, especially if it's a calm weather, it'll keep you nice and warm in like the 30s, even with the 90 and 60 weights. But once you move into like the 120 and 190 weight, which is, that's pretty much their four weights. You have more of a, it still doesn't look quite like fleece or even like microgrid, which like the Melanzana, but it's not see-through. You can wear it on its own and go out on town and yeah, not get looks, but yeah, it's a very, very warm fabric, incredibly lightweight. I don't think there's anything out there actually that really compares. I think their main competitor at the moment is Tegin. I think I'm saying that right. Tegin Octa. And it's a similar weight stuff. They have like a 67, 85, 120, 220. It's got a mesh outer layer and then this like kind of lofted inner layer. And it's pretty cool. It's Mountain Hardware is working with one. Call it the air mesh hoodie. It's not bad. But still, it doesn't compare with the heat retention. I picked one up just to check it out. And yeah, it's nice. But yeah, nothing really touches Alpha's ability to keep you warm. It's crazy.
Is it made with polyester? Is that the main,
yeah,
both main fiber that's in there?
Yeah, it's 100% polyester. With the Alpha Direct, it's like a lofted, usually a lofted interior and exterior, which really traps the heat. So you wear it underneath like a rain or wind jacket. I really like the Patagonia Houdini, which is a great jacket, or the Enlightened Equipment Vist when I'm going with the raincoat. It really will keep you warm. I mean, you're going to overheat likely, especially if you're hiking in it. Yeah, you're going to get too warm. So.
The Farpoint hoodie and my Visp was what I wore when I threw like the SHT a couple years back. That combo was like absolutely perfect. Like, you know, I did it in the fall, and like the ability to thermoregulate with Alpha is just so incredible, of like throwing that layer on top and really having to be insulating versus like if I needed just a little bit to be able to like open up the pit zips and let a little bit of air out.
Oh, totally.
Or just you know, take everything off and just have the Alpha on and having it feel comfortable, breathable when I needed it to be. It's incredible.
That had to be a gorgeous time of year to hike that too. That's the Superior Trail, right?
I have a Farpoint shirt here. This is a few years old now, I think.
Yeah.
Must have been from pretty early days. But for people who are watching on YouTube, you can kind of see here, it's kind of like a fleecy material a little bit, but like very thin and light. It's like, it's hard to describe it. Like I kind of look at it and I think of it kind of like a mesh, but then with little like tufts of fleece material that are kind of all over it that help trap, and all of that combined helps trap air to keep you warm, and then it's like super breathable and light at the same time. It's hard to describe.
It's almost like a really tight net. It's like a netting. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, this like lofted fabric coming out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife calls it my Muppet sweatshirt.
Yeah. It definitely looks like Muppet stuff.
But it's, yeah, insanely light, very, very warm, especially like we talked about, like if you're kind of doing something where there's not a lot of wind around you or you're not moving too much and you're kind of static, they can keep you pretty warm just with that air bubble that gets trapped in. And then if you throw a wind resistant layer over top of it or a waterproof layer, it just traps in an insane amount of heat. It's pretty phenomenal stuff. Do you see like any, because I think a lot of people, they probably look at PolarTech Alpha Direct and they're like, okay, what about this compared to like a fleece? Like, what am I getting? Like, what kind of trade-offs am I making by going with the PolarTech Alpha Direct, or what kind of benefits am I getting over like a traditional fleece, especially maybe like a micro, like a gridded fleece or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. So like the Melly or Sambob, which is awesome. Your biggest trade-off is durability. So, and then that always is right there with weight too, you know, durability and weight. So the Alpha, you know, like a 4 ounce hoodie, compared to what, like a 10 ounce micro grid hoodie, your biggest trade is durability. So it can catch easy. Velcro is really not good around it. I like hiking in it in the morning or like late in the evening. But it really does well at camp. I think it's great for camping, especially if you're going to be carrying, some thermals and a camp shirt and like camp socks, which you're going to carry pretty much the whole day. It might as well be as light as it can be, while still keeping you warm, which is definitely what Alpha's great at.
Yeah, and you don't need to worry about durability quite as much for around camp, as long as you have a quilt. If you have a sling bag with some Velcro on it, you might need to be a little bit more careful. But
yeah, I didn't even think about that. I could see that being brutal. But yeah.
But yeah, it's insanely light.
I think of it as like Alpha just has like all these little tendrils that are just like trying to reach out and grab everything that I'm hiking by. And I'm definitely like a little bit more cautious about it, but like most of my Alpha layers, they'll have like pulls or some threads, but like I haven't yet had like any type of full rip. And as far as I can tell, even with a lot of like pull, you know, it doesn't perfect the performance. And on most of my stuff, like I'm not super wearing it anywhere other than a trail. So like, I don't really care if it has a pull or like looks a little like battered or, I don't know. So, yeah.
I've been surprised at the durability. Like I use mine on the Great Divide Trail for 40 days straight and probably another like 60, 70, 80 days and nights at least, because it's three years old now at this point, and like a couple dozen washes, and it's still going strong without like any issues. So I've been impressed with the durability. My gear lasts a long time, but still, it doesn't feel like a very, it feels like an ultralight piece of gear, but I feel like it's outperformed a lot of the other ultralight pieces of gear that I've had out there.
Yeah, that's if I remember, that's a 90 weight too. It's that like that 90 baby blue you got, right? Or it's like a sky blue. Yeah. Yeah, I like 90 a lot. It's a great, 60, if you're trying to count ounces, 60 is probably the way to go, but I think 90 is a really good all around weight. Yeah.
My first layer was a 60, and my only beef with it was that I felt like after I think the first Alpha anything I had was from Senji, and I loved the thing, but after washing it a couple of times, I felt like it was like one of those like Chinese like finger things that kind of like starts trapping you in it, and like I felt like the sleeves kept getting shorter on me. I don't know. It just seemed to kind of like constrict as a fabric a little bit. And I couldn't really tell if I was just making it up or not, but it definitely kind of got a little bit of that feel.
Yeah, the 60 weight, they have like an Alpha Direct 60, but a lot of 60 will be like an Alpha Insulation as well, which it'll work as a standalone, but Politech did make it as like a lining. So it's interesting. They have different like codes for which one's which, but yeah, 60 can be tricky.
I think I remember back, I don't know if it's quite the same these days, but I know when Alpha Direct first kind of hit the backpacking scene, and there is Senshi and you making stuff at the beginning, it was pretty hard to get Alpha Direct gear, and really hard. I think Senshi was selling out their drops within like a couple minutes, and you're probably selling out I think you're selling out really quickly as well. What was the reasoning behind that difficulty in getting Alpha Direct? Has that kind of been changed a little bit now, or are we still kind of in that world?
Yeah, it's actually funny. So when I first started, price per yard was like almost half of what it is now. So, I mean, it's been around for like almost 10 years. But it's been mainly used as insulation or like a backing fabric. You haven't really seen much standalone other than the MacPack and Rab were like the only ones who are doing it. And as you know, MacPack, you can't really get in the States either. They only ship within their country or Europe and stuff. So I was initially getting fabric like on eBay. I'd order a couple yards. But I think Polartec just wasn't producing as much at the time. And then once they just saw this huge demand, they're producing a lot more now. And there's a lot more availability as far as large quantity. Through a couple different mills that they work with, or just directly through Politech. But they also raised the prices on it. So they, you know, it's funny how that all worked out, but, yeah, it was really difficult at first. I remember always thinking, you know, after I'd make a sale, I just put all the money, pretty much as much as I could, right back into the fabric and get as much of it as I could. I was always kind of concerned that I'd eventually run out, which never happened, which was awesome. So now I got a big storage unit full of fabric, and I'm going through it now. Yeah, it's a lot easier to get it.
So sourcing the fabric isn't the issue now. Now it's more probably getting the fabric turned into items.
yeah, definitely. I know Senshi and a couple other companies have gone to cut and sew factories, which is awesome. Especially I think they're staying in States, which is really nice. I visited the Melanzana shop, shortly before I started this. And I remember being really inspired by their production line. Everything's done right there in their shop. And so I really wanted to stay that same route. I had a place lined up in town, but it didn't really quite work out. So we're still working out of my garage here. I'm still looking for a spot. Especially if I'm going to try to get a few more people involved. But I'd really like to stay in-house production. I think it's a great way to do it. You see some other guys like Hightail Design has a really nice hoodie with like a flat stitch. It's really sharp. And then you see like Sam Bob is staying in-house. And I know he's worked with Alpha a little bit, mainly Microgrid. But yeah, Melanzana really was a real big inspiration at first. I thought, man, look at this. This is such a cool setup. I waited in this huge line and there were like two items per person. It was really cool. It was a really cool experience. We'll see though, maybe towards the end of the year, I might make the decision if I'm going to try to pursue a factory setting rather than staying in-house, but we'll see. See how that goes.
Do you see any like some of the like the big brands that we have out there that are carried by like REI and Backcountry and stuff? Do you see them kind of looking at Polartec, or do they look at it and say like, well, that's a little bit too difficult to work with, or a little bit too ultralight for them?
I've wondered a lot about that. Like, if one of these big guys would get involved, like Patagonia or something, and drop an Alpha hoodie, I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's just production times, but we haven't really seen it. I think sooner or later they will, though, because yeah, it's a very popular item, and it's a mystery to me. I'm wondering why, like, REI is not, but REI as well doesn't, you know, a lot of stuff that's really popular in the cottage industry, they're not really selling on their own either. I think Hyperlite, their Hyperlite bag is like the only DCF product they carry. So it's an interesting, there's like two worlds going on there. So
maybe this is just the pragmatist in me, but I look at that and I wonder if it honestly has to do with their return policies.
Oh, like, that's interesting. Yeah.
I don't know if REI could touch Alpha for that reason. Like, you know, unconditional return after a year. Like, if you do serious hiking in Alpha, it's going to have some blemishes on it to some extent.
That's what I was thinking too. It's too risky.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it's a fascinating thing because, I mean, as you said earlier, Joe, like the trade-off between ultralight versus durability, I mean, there's products, and I think Hyperlite is actually a pretty good example that like treads a good line of being a fairly durable product and being relatively ultralight. But, you know, you look at a lot of ultralight pack makers, and as big as the ultralight space has become, and I think we found this with GarageGround, is that it's still just such a small niche within a absolutely massive industry, and that I do wonder if REI looks at it and goes like, hey, yeah, we could like dabble in Alpha, maybe we'd sell some, but like, is it ever gonna outsell, you know, like a Patagonia, like R1?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah,
you know, and it's like, it's not, and I think we've seen it a lot that, like, you know, I think big box retailers definitely use the cottage space as a little bit of a testing ground. Again, I think Hyperlite is a perfect example of that. Like, quilts are a perfect example of that. Like, REI sells quilts, and like, you know, they sell, you know, a lot of things that I think have evolved within cottage spaces. And that's great. Like, you know, it's a wonderful thing that products that we find wonderful within ultralight backpacking are finding their way into more traditional spaces. And yeah, it would be fascinating to see if REI ever did, or if Patagonia decided to make an Alpha fleece. And yeah, who knows?
Be interesting. Probably be a bit of a game changer.
Seems like we're probably like maybe 10 years away. It seems like they're about 15 years behind. Like they just started working on trekking pole tents a few years ago, quilts a few years ago. And they still haven't dialed those in either. So even once they do allow the cottage industry to kind of develop some of these things, they then have their own development time for actually dialing in the products that their quality. So we'll see what happens. Has there been any difficulties with like developing clothing? Because I think that's something that I always think about is like, and I've heard from other clothing companies, like the like dialing in fit and making sure that you're accommodating people with different fits, and then the consistency in fit, has that been a challenge, and or what have you done to kind of work through that?
Yeah, so I went through quite a different patterns and landed on what seemed to be a really good fit, like more of a box shape rather than you know, like cuts into a V or anything like that. So the fit was always good. I got a lot of great feedback, which always helped out. I think one of the biggest things was dialing in the sleeves so that they weren't too tight, not too loose, especially at the cuffs. And then you have between the 60, 90, and then the two heavier weights, 121, 90, you have quite a bit of a difference in the stretch. So you can't really, you know, I was the Alpha Cruiser is a 60-90 weights, and then a Super Cruiser will be 120-190 weights. And initially we were using a similar, like the same pattern and just saying size up, but we've since kind of changed that up and trying to make the Super Cruiser a bit more of a casual fit so you can wear it over something. So yeah, the amount of stretch involved was always kind of a challenge. It's a two-way stretch, so you can feel a bit of tightness in the shoulders. rather than a four-way stretch. And then initially we were doing just a pretty simple hood, and then we eventually added the drawstring, which I think was a really great addition. It's been a lot of fun doing different colors. It's like a paracord, like a 95 weight paracord. And yeah, so that's pretty much the last change that we made to it. Yeah, I was adding the drawstring.
Nice. I feel like that's like you're able to dial in the fit relatively quickly, because I've tested out some stuff from companies that have been around even longer who still haven't dialed in the fit, whereas like the older version that I have here of the Farpoint Crew Alpha Direct shirt, like fit really well. I think like I really like the boxy design aspect, because it's I don't think it's meant to be like a fashion piece necessarily, right? So you don't need that like athletic fit, like Arc'teryx, like gonna wear it out to head to the drugstore or whatever, and that kind of thing. You could like I don't really care. Like I'd wear it out. Yeah, that's
my first year going to outdoor retailer. This was probably like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago at this point. But they did a an outdoor retailer fashion show where they had like a legitimate like runway. It was like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But they had like a model strutting down, like a male model in nothing but merino boxers, and then the guy would walk down the runway and like fling like a rumpled quilt over his shoulder and like strike a couple poses and turn around and walk back. It was absurd and it was wonderful. Like it was like I don't know if it was supposed to be like a total parody. Like I think it was supposed to be more serious than everyone took it, but I think that Farpoint would be an excellent addition to the outdoor retailer runway program if they ever do decide to bring that back.
My one buddy always said, he's like, it reminds me of American Apparel. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, when I was in Chicago, they were a pretty big name. They had a nice big shop, and yeah, I guess Farpoint reminded my buddy of it. I don't know. I think it's the simple design, which I've always tried to really stay focused on, is keeping a nice simple design and keeping it as light as you can. You don't want to add a bunch of stuff. We haven't worked with pockets other than some custom orders, and don't really work with zippers. Honestly, like I made a 120 full zip, which I really enjoy. And we'll probably do a batch of them towards the winter actually. But you know, you get a zipper and you get some elastic on all the hemming, and it almost weighs as much as the hoodie itself. So it's like, you know, try to keep it as light as you can, which is the whole goal of the item. And yeah. So
that's what makes it easy to bring.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can fit the thing in your palm of your hand.
No, it feels like one of those products that is like, it is not over designed. It is like perfectly designed for what you need it to be, and that is everything that you need it to be. And it's not lacking in any areas, and it's not feature rich. It's just like, it does everything that you want out of what it is. And I feel like there's not a lot of pieces of gear that I can pinpoint and say that exact same thing.
Yeah.
And that's really neat. You mentioned Sambob earlier, and I think one of my first interactions with Alpha was seeing an Instagram post that he made with it's like some jacket that he made with like a Polar Tech inner layer and like a 7D outer shell. And I remember thinking to myself, like, that's really cool.
That is awesome.
And in thinking about questions to ask you about today, I was thinking, like, you know, you've got tops out of Alpha, you've got bottoms, you've got socks, you've got hats. Like it feels like you are very much on the front edge of what is happening with Alpha. And like, where does Alpha go from here? Like where does it grow? Are there areas that it gets used differently? Is there a long runway for what Alpha is?
Well, Polar Tech recently developed, I'm not sure how long ago now, but an alpha wool mix, which is it's kind of similar to their power wool, which is a merino and a polyester. It's not blended. It's like a polyester front with a merino backing. I believe that's how it is. And it's a really cool, unique fabric that they designed. But the Alpha wool is a similar style. It has like a polyester lofted front with a merino, or I think it's just regular wool on the back. They only offered it in 150 right now, but I think it would be really cool to see it in 90 or one of these lower weights. And yeah, it's a great fabric. I picked up a bunch of it. We make the hats, which sell really well. Probably the number one fabric weight that sells out of all the hats is the Alpha wool. And then I was making these like fingerless gloves, but they're pretty time consuming. But they also work really well. They're great. You see a little bit of issue with pilling, which I'm sure Politech could address at some point. But yeah, I think it'd be really cool to see the properties of wool combined with that lofted heat retention of the Alpha fabric. That could be a nice next step, is some lower weighted Alpha wool.
Dig that. Do you see it? Do you see Alpha translating to other products? Like, do you see it being able to be intertwined in other spaces? I guess using that, like, you know, the Sam Bob kind of hoodie was just like wouldn't have thought of that. I think I've seen it like vaguely as like a, I don't even remember who was doing this, but as like a sleeping bag liner as well. I don't know if it was Allman's Right that was playing around with that, but someone was it.
I saw he did. Allman's Right did, I think it was a custom project. He had made one, but Timmermaid does it pretty frequently. It's one of their main items. And Timmermaid is a really cool company. Some of his stuff is very innovative. I could see it being a great liner, especially shoulder season hiking where you're always waking up wet. That could really help with moisture control. It could also be a great pillowcase, since it weighs, you know, it'll weigh, I don't know, 0.2 ounce, and you can throw whatever pillow you use. I like the Big Sky. I think it's called like Big Sleeper or something. It looks like a hospital pillow. It's a great pillow. I love it. And usually I'd throw like a buff over it, but I mean, the buff easily weighs 10 times what an Alpha pillowcase would weigh. So
that's a great point. I was just testing out the Big Sky pillow with a buff on it and then a piece of shock cord to attach it onto my sleeping pad, and it tripled the weight of the pillow. And I was like, well, now it weighs the same as the Trekology pillow I have with a pad strap. So I need to figure out some lighter weight solution compared to the buff. So yeah, it'd be cool if like there's an Alpha Direct option there, if it ended up being lighter.
You could even make it same style as a buff, which would work nice, and then just use it as your pillowcase. It's great.
I like the sleeping bag liner too, because Sea to Summit makes like their sleeping bag liner. Again, it's like a weight thing. I think their liner's like 15 ounces or something crazy.
That's like what my synthetic quilt is. I think even, you know, it's like less than that. And that thing is, it's rated 50 degrees, but yeah, it's great. Those synthetic quilts can be really awesome. Yeah.
They punch above their weight.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like it won't though. When you get in it, you're like, man, this is thin. But you stay warm. It's nice. Yeah, just the other week, I actually went camping. We had kind of like a freak heat wave out here. And I didn't even get in my sleeping bag. I just had the Alpha top, bottom, and socks. And I just slept on top of everything. And the whole night, I was like, oh, I'll probably wake up at 2 or 3 freezing. But no, it was perfect. It was pretty awesome. It always surprises me how warm it keeps you. It's pretty crazy. Which is usually what you hear.
I wonder if there's a factor of like when you're warm, you're kind of and comfortable, you're immobile when you're sleeping, and then you create these nice pockets of air. And then if you start getting too hot and you like shift or something and try and find a cold spot, then you can kind of like dump some of those pockets of air out of the Alpha, and maybe it cools you off. So it kind of like self-regulates temperature wise.
Yeah, it seems to regulate really well. Which is another reason I really love merino. We work with a Merino blend when we can, or the Power Wool, which is, Merino is just an excellent regulating fabric. Some people are like, oh, isn't it too, doesn't it get too hot? And it's like, well, it's not a cooling fabric, but it regulates really well. So it does great in a range of temperatures. You can go from really cold to pretty hot. Yeah. And it works really well if you tolerate getting sweaty, and, you know, it's fine. It does great.
Joe, I imagine that people after listening to this podcast will be interested in checking out Polartec Alpha more. If you were to kind of, for people who are curious about it, like, what is your like parting shot that they should know about Polartec Alpha before purchasing?
Well, it's going to be a lot different than any fleece that you've dealt with before. And like we were saying, it's not something you want to wear just around town, other than like the heavier weights. But it will absolutely surprise you on how warm it is. Yeah, it's definitely a very unique fabric. It's just perfect for camping and staying warm on trail, especially when you're watching weight. It's nothing really beats it. So, yeah. It's unique, though.
I'd say it's one of those staple pieces that is almost like I always have kind of ready to go, because it's gonna be great when it's really warm, like too warm for like a down jacket, and it's great as like a supplemental piece to throw underneath the down jacket if I need to, or to bring into my sleep system if I don't want to be wearing a down jacket while I'm sleeping. And for how light it is, it's almost a no-brainer to kind of throw it in the pack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, at its weight, even the full suit, top, bottom, and socks, is like, it'll end up coming out lighter than a traditional fleece top, you know. So it's a might as well just bring it with. It's nice. I brought it on some trips where I didn't even put on the bottoms, but I brought them the whole time. And you're never like, oh man, what a waste of space. It's like, no, it's
The full body shots of you and a head to toe alpha might have to be in the premium part of this podcast.
Yeah, my buddy.
Yeah, the OnlyFans.
Yeah, a good friend of mine just got back from a trip, he had the top and bottom in like an eggplant color, and he's hiking in the morning. He's got some shots of it. It looks pretty wild, but he said he just loved it in the mornings. Yeah.
That's great. So I think you're for the Farpoint website, if people want to check out Farpoint, I think like they can head to Garage Growing Gear, but if they want to head, and Garage Growing Gear carries a bunch of your stuff, but if they want to look at kind of a broader range, I don't think you guys carry everything Lloyd, and or if they want to just kind of check out what you're all about, where can they head to?
It's Farpoint with an E, O-G, is an outdoor gear .com. Yeah, Farpoint OG. And we're just finishing up an order for Garage Grown, and they're gonna have the pants on the site. And it's gonna be awesome. Really stoked to be able to bring that to the public, the customers. And I think Garage Grown is great when you go to one of these cottage company sites and they're out. I did this recently. I was looking at the Appalachian gear, and they had their 1020 long sleeve. The black sold out like immediately. I checked Garage Grown, and sure enough, I was able to pick one up. So it was pretty awesome. It works out really well.
Testimonials don't get better than that, Joe. Thank you.
No, it works great. I've done it a few times. I was like, oh yes, they still got a couple. So,
well, that was great. Really appreciate your insight into Alpha Direct and kind of telling us the story of Farpoint. I was curious. This was probably, I'd say this shirt is one of the first kind of like really ultralight pieces of gear that I invested in. So cool to kind of like bring it kind of full circle and have you on the podcast and chat now. So really appreciate it. And Lloyd, it's always a pleasure. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate being here. It's been awesome. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.